Joyce.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and start with the easy questions that I want to ask you first. So my first question for you would be, how has being a physician assistant affected your life?
Well, for one thing, it has allowed me to do some things that I ordinarily would not have been able to do, as it relates to bringing quality health care to people who could not have it. Plus, to do some other things like to introduce to the people who don't have access to things like obesity weight loss clinics, and I'm talking about good weight loss clinics, things like podiatry that they would not ordinarily have had. And as a result of that, I was able to get funds to add to a clinic that was already in process, but to bring those things to that particular mix of patients. And to give you an example of that is that Duke has a weight loss program that is totally holistic. It has a psychiatrist, a social worker, it has a physician, it has a physician's assistant, and an outreach worker, so that it allows them to have the same kind of stuff that the Duke weight loss program has. I mean, Lauren Green has been to Duke's program, this kind of thing. So what we have done with Lincoln Community Health Center is to initiate those things. So we got volunteers to do the medical stuff, and volunteers to do the psychological stuff. So the nurse to do the stuff, and a nurse's aide to do the outreach as a result. So what everything that I've done, even though they would say it was I was getting paid to do it, it was doing something else, it wasn't that I was getting paid to do it. Yeah, it was, but the patient was getting what that program at Duke would cost you an enormous amount of stuff. You had to check into the hotel to be in that program. The other thing is we added a component, a podiatry component to it. And I was able to do that because the CEO where I was working at a neighborhood health center allowed me to be trained 12 weeks by Dr. John Ardell, so that, because he felt like that it would take 12 weeks for me to be able to do podiatry. So I used that for the diabetic, hypertensive patient, and the elderly patients who couldn't cut their nails. So that was an enormous move for me. Plus the fact it gave me the opportunity to put something back in the community that would be beneficial. I mean, you know, for them to just come, for patients just to come to the clinic, they would come, leave without anything, but then they would come and they'd leave with a good feeling because you, in doing the foot care, you did a little bit more than we did more than people would do who would go to the podiatrist, because we soaked the feet, and then we did the pedicure, and dried them off, massaged them, and that was that. Nowhere else could I do that. Nowhere else could our patients get that type of service. So I thought that was interesting for me. And then, you know, I thought they needed adequate housing. So as a result of that, you know, you join these dumb boards so that you will be able to have access to the people that you want to reach. I mean, you know, you just can't go into somebody's organization and say, this is what you need. You go in and you say, what is it I can do to help you? And have you ever thought about this, this, and this? And then they would tell you yes or no, and that would be your end. And then you would talk to the people about what it is that they wanted. And so you get them involved. You get them involved in what you're going to be doing. So that's how that came about. Now, the other thing is that I think that helped me with my career, because I wouldn't have been able to do this anywhere else but where I was, and that was at a neighborhood health center. Even though I was still working at Duke, I worked there Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning for up until 1986. But I was at Lincoln, and that was my primary job. So it was I was able to do those things without any complaint. Anybody saying that you double dipping or any of this kind of thing?
Well, one of the other questions that I wanted to ask you is, how has the profession been affected by you and your presence as a PA in the profession?
Well, contrary to what folks say, that I was a bulldog, or I did things the wrong way, I can't accept that, and I don't accept that. You and Earl know that whatever I did for the good of the profession. And I'm looking back now at, because the bylaws that was written for the organization, I wrote them. And Bill Stanhope was the first president for the organization. And I was a board member as a student, because they didn't have enough PAs who were graduates at the time to even have the kind of things that they wanted. So I asked to have a Minority Affairs Committee as a standing committee, not an ad hoc committee, because they wanted to make it an ad hoc committee. And anybody who know anything about organization, ad hoc committees are put in to satisfy an itch that somebody has. But standing committees are there for the duration of the organization. So I think that by doing that, and then doing the Minority Affairs Committee, now at the time, and Bill was right, he said, there are only three minorities. And at that time, there was Prentice Harrison, Ernie Eason, and me. And I said, yeah, but you got females, so they're going to be coming in. And so they will be minorities. Well, I know that no white female is going to come in and want to be a minority, you know. But at the time, to satisfy all of the criteria that folk needed. When I was in the program, it said that 10% of my class was African American and 10% was female. Well, it wasn't until I had been a graduate for 3 years that I realized that I was that 10% in each category. I said, now, wait a minute. What have I done here? And so that's what happened with that. It blew my mind to think that I was counted twice, only for one person. It was unreal. It really was. So I wrote the bylaws, and in the process of writing the bylaws, I used Dr. Essie as the person who would give me the advice, I wanted to know, and I said, if I put in this clause, what kind of clause would you put in that would satisfy physicians and other agencies? Because I could see the bigger picture. I could see PAs being occupational health PAs. I could see patients helping to be healthcare providers for the prison system, healthcare providers for the homeless. So I thought that was a good thing to put in. But now it's a nemesis, you know, because I don't think you need to be there. I really, after you've worked, if you work with somebody for 5 years, they know whether or not you are a good clinician. Because if not, they would have gotten rid of you in that length of time. So that should come out. There are some things that I see now that should not have ever been in there. But, you know, with the new profession, a committee of one, it was I didn't have anybody working with me other than me and talking to Bill on the phone wherever he was. So that made a difference.
Well, you know that we are always influenced by our environment and by the people in our environment. So what I'd like to ask is, what influenced your decision to become a PA?
The fact that they told me I couldn't. That's the only factor. Because the first time I applied, it was, you know, it was a joke. Because Jim Moss said, I said, when are you going to let me come in the program? And he said, apply. And I said, okay. And that's what I did. When admissions time come and acceptance for the class, I didn't see no letter for me, so I asked him what happened. And he said, I'm sorry, we are taking only 20 people in the class, so we already have everybody that we need. And I said, okay, and left it alone. I didn't do anything. I just waited for the next time around to do it.
And then what happened?
On a Friday afternoon, Jim Moe came up on the floor where I was working on CCU, because I was working the evening shift. And he said, we have accepted you in the program, and you can start class Monday at 8 o'clock. I said, And that was it, because my head nurse wasn't there to give me a change, schedule change. So I called the nursing supervisor, who was Edith Aiken at the time, and she gave me permission to come in to class, but come in to work late. She said she would get with the head nurse. I didn't have to worry about it, because she was a lady that they had accepted a female. She didn't care what the ethnicity of the person was, as long as it was a female, because some of the RNs had applied, and they had not accepted them. So she was pleased with that. So I started classes that Monday morning.
What are some of your fondest memories about being involved in the PA profession?
Okay, the fondest memories for me was the fact that I had not done a lot of traveling in my lifetime. So it allowed me to, and the reason it allowed me to be in the program is because when Dr. Howard would go to present the profession, I went as that 10% African-American and that 10% female that they had in the class in the presentation of the physician assistant concept. So I got to meet a lot of people, and that was really exciting for me, because I was doing some traveling and seeing some places that I had not seen in my lifetime.
On the reverse of that, what are some of the saddest, or if you have any sad moments about being involved in the PA profession?
I do, and that is that I think that the program was not fair to females. They did not allow females into the program. They had negative things to say about females being PAs. They didn't want to be bothered. But then after a while, physicians, interns, and residents got to meet with the female, who was me, and found out that as a female clinician, I could do just as well as the men could do. I think if that had not happened, that would have been the end of PAs getting into the PA program. Unless other programs brought some other females in, because otherwise they wouldn't have been able to do that.
I know that you mentioned some things about what PAs are required to do. Are there anything that you would like to change about the profession at this point in time?
The bylaws. I wish I'd never put that clause in there. And that beat me up every time I see it and every time I read it. Because, first of all, I don't think that it should have been put in there in the first place. But it's in there, and I don't know of any way. Well, I do know of a way of doing it, that the NCPA will take it out, but they have not done that, as I can see. So I think if they would take it out, it would make it easier.
Tell me something about who influenced you the most in your time at work and in the physician assistant profession.
Dr. Harvey Estes and Dr. Amos Johnson in Clinton, North Carolina. Dr. Amos Johnson was a very unique man. He took a young man who had just come out of high school and made him a PA. That's what he trained him as in his office. And he was just unreal. He would do the x-rays and go look at him and make the decision about what has happened to the patient, whether or not it was a fracture or not, and go on about his business. So it was a good thing. He was just great.
Can you tell me something about what you see now in terms of the viability of the profession? How viable do you see it, and how valuable do you see the profession at this point?
I think the profession is more needed now than ever, because you can increase the number of providers that's in the field now, and give the physicians the opportunity to do the long-term care for patients. And we do the things that, the mundane kind of things that I call them for right now, for lack of a different word to see it, because you need to have that kind of a professional in that profession, because it will make it difficult for other PAs to come in and work. Now, one thing that can happen is that you can let people know that you're there, and some people still have a problem with the profession. They don't want to see a PA, and that's all right. That's their loss, not that ours. But it's really about the people. So I think that's the only thing.
Well, as you know now, we have over 140 PA programs. We are also involved in setting up physician assistant programs in a number of different countries. Do you still see that the PA profession is viable, as I asked you earlier? And do you still encourage young people or people in general to enroll in the PA program?
I do, because I think that that healthcare is so fragmented that it needs to be brought together. It needs to have good people, and you need to have people with skills who can go out and work with them. Sometimes it's just a child who has gotten sunburn, that kind of thing, or a woman who has allowed herself to get into the sun, or a person who is naturally sunburned, whether they like it or not. So it makes a difference. It really make a difference, and they need to continue the profession. And to give you an example, if you look at public housing right here in the city, you will find that there is a lot of people who need the services but don't get it because it's not close to them. It's not good for them. And that's not true, it's, you know, because you know that that is, that there is, that it's sun.
We're on. How have admissions requirements changed from the beginning of the profession to what it is now?
When I looked at what was going on and have watched the profession and have been really saddened by the criteria that has been used to for admission, because I think that it is a strategic plan to keep minorities out of the program. Because usually we are the ones who do not have the money to get, we didn't have a master's degree or a bachelor's degree prior to coming into the program. But now they have made it so that you have to have a bachelor's to get into the program, and there are other programs that are requiring masters to be in the program. And I don't think they have given any better service to the clients than we have. So that is a way of, and whether we like it or not, that is a way of them forcing the profession out and forcing you to become physicians if that's what you want to do. So that is ludicrous.
What are the greatest issues facing the profession now, and how do you think we should handle them?
Well, I think there are two issues. One is the fact that you've got to have a master's in some places and a bachelor's in other places to get into the profession. I think that is the thing. And I don't see anything that you will be doing that will be different than what you're doing. So rather than doing that, you may as well go to med school. I don't see anything that will keep you from doing that. I mean, you know, why would I spend 6 years to be a PA when I can go to med school for 4 years? And then if I decide that I want to do a residency, I will. If I decide that I want to do a residency program, I can. So that's up to you. But after you go finish 4 years, you can practice anywhere, and in a state anywhere. So I think it was a strategic plan to cut down on the number of PAs that they have that are going on to get these doctorates in high class. I really do.
Well, looking at the future, what do you see that some of the challenges will be for PAs in the future?
Well, the salaries are unreal now. So, I see PA is now making $80,000 and $90,000 a year, as PAs. In the future, I just see that skyrocketing even more. And what is going to happen is that the PAs are not going to have any jobs, and the nurse practitioners will take over the market because they are going to already have the hands on the business. And so where did that put us? It put us in a very precarious situation. And I don't see us going anywhere at all with that. Because, and the other thing is that you have to watch, and that is you have to be bilingual. You got a lot of Hispanics now that are, they get sick too. And they have to have health care. And they have the money. And that's what they will be doing.
Do you see any ways of facing some of those challenges in the future?
One of the things that I see that that you can do for the future is to see... look at a clinician doing this and then look at one that is not Hispanic and see what is going on, and that will that's it. I just don't see us taking any thing now.
Okay. I know that you're retired and you've been retired for quite a number of years now. Can you summarize for us some of the things that you've done since your retirement?
Since my retirement, after I retired, I was serving on Lincoln Community Del Center Board of Directors. And at that time, I noticed that there was a need for health centers because funds were running low. They weren't changing, and they weren't giving any more money, and they had an increase in number of the people that was being served. They also had a number of keys that were out. And there was nothing that out there that would sustain a health center if the funding dried up. So there needed to be an arm that would have some funds that could provide some services for the health care center. So with the help of some other people, I put together a team look at something. And so we came up with the foundation that's called the Lincoln Community Health Center Foundation. It just got its 501(c)(3), which is that IRS designation that you have to have to get credit for giving money to an organization. And it's called the Lincoln Community Health Center Foundation. Anybody who's looking at this and want to give us a little money, they may do so, because we're taking anything from a penny up to $1 million. So I want us to look at it and not take any small amount. My grandbaby, when I got the award, said, "Grandma, I can't go, but here's my money." She gave me a nickel, and I added 95 cents to it, so it'd be a dollar. So her name would be on the list of donors. So we don't put any amount on the list of donors. So her name is, she look at it and said, "That's my name." So that's what I have done. I've not reached the goal. So we're hoping over the next 5 year period that we will have enough to have a good base for the foundation. So that's what I have been doing. The other thing is I have volunteered as transportation person to for cancer patients who need trips to and from somewhere. So I haven't died. So now I'm not doing anything at all now.
I think this is the last question, but tell me something about how pleased you have been with your involvement in the profession and as well as your volunteer work. Could you summarize some of that for me as well?
I have been very pleased with the profession because it has allowed me to get some, because I would not have been able to do any of this stuff that they have given me, these non-monetary awards, if I had not been able because, you know, to get the Nancy Susan Reynolds Award, that was an award that I was pleased with because money came with it, you know. The Presidential Award, that was a nice award because some money came along with it. The Doctor's Award was a nice award, but ain't no money come with that. And then there was the Board of Trustees Award for the Durham Regional. That was a nice award, but ain't nothing come with that. But at least I was able to make a difference in how the funds were dispensed, how some of the things was done. So, you know, it put you in a position in the governance component where you are able to do some things and make sure where the funds are going and where they are not going. It really is great for you and that one. So I think that's just a good thing. The sad part about this is the funding. I just don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. And I don't know. I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. Not at all.
A little bit more time. So what we could do is just you summarize for the three of us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. You know, we are a team, and we can't separate ourselves out now. Even though we're going into that rot stage where there is nothing left supposedly to be done, there is. And we are still a part of what is going to happen and what has happened And I want to keep that flowing if we're going to do it. It has to continue to be the Ned group, Nichols, Eckert, and Davis.
Joyce, over the years, you have been an inspiration to a number of people, a lot of people, a lot of PAs, including myself. How do you feel personally about that role, the role that you have influenced a number of people? How does that make you feel?
Well, I don't think I was the one who influenced the people. I think that I working with you and Johnny has allowed me to do that, because you all have had the finesse to do it. Because, you know, tact and diplomacy has never been one of my better suits. So the two of you have carried the message that I was pushing, so that you could see where I was going with it, and you made it able to be disseminated to the people and the population that it needed to be, and it got done. You all have kept that Minority Affairs thing going. It may not be in the same format, but you've kept it going. You have done a lot of things with governance, so that has been great. And we are friends forever. We are advocates forever. We are on the same page forever, and that's a good thing about it. I would not attempt to do anything without the two of you, because I wouldn't have the know-how. I wouldn't be able to get it out there. So you are it.
Joyce, my one other question that's always been of interest to me, having seen your involvement in a lot of activities, especially those activities since you retired, you didn't go home and sit down. Of all those activities you've been involved with, which one gave you the most pleasure since you retired?
The one that has given me the most pleasure is to the setting up and approval of the Lincoln Community Health Center Foundation with its 501c3. So that would be the financial arm for Lincoln Community Health Center. So I am very pleased with that. The letter came for the IRS designation 2 days before I was hospitalized. So that was great. Okay. That was great. I think that was just great.
Okay. Earl, my question for you is, can you give me some idea about your association with Joyce over the years?
My name is Earl Eckhart. I'm a physician assistant. I have known Joyce for almost 40 years. And Joyce has been a friend, a confidant, a leader, a lot of things, an influential member of the profession for a number of years. And she and I, over the years, have grown to be very, very close. I've always thought of Joyce as someone as a trailblazer, and someone who is feels very comfortable in her role, and has been an exemplary model for the PA profession.
And what do you see as some of the contributions that she has given that you know about to the profession?
I think, first and foremost, in my opinion, the fact that she was the first female to enter the profession speaks a lot, especially at the time that she came into the profession in the late 60s, and I think we all know that men sort of dominated almost every aspect of of life, so to speak. And I know, based on what I've heard and what Joyce has told me and other people have told me, she fought hard to get into the program. And I think that sort of set the trend. When you look at approximately 80, 90,000 PAs in the country with over 50% being female, I think that speaks a lot in itself to the things that she has contributed. Her dedication to her patients on a very personal level, because Joyce and I worked together for a number of years, so I know how dedicated she was to her patients. To the institution in which we worked, she fought hard for all the things that the institution had and was able to deliver. And we both ran satellite health clinics, and which was very difficult in itself. And to be in a rural area, Joyce did just so much for the people of that era.
Could you give me one or two sentences that you would see when you say that Joyce is my friend?
It's sort of hard to do in one or two sentences, but I've often said in my lifetime, and if I had to describe Joyce, if someone asked me to pick a female to go into war or to combat, Joyce would be one of the first people that I would pick. She is someone who is very dependable, very loyal, very supportive. If she believes in you and your concept and your ideas, you have a friend for life.
Thank you.
That's great.
Wow, that's good.
John, you and I both have known Joyce for a number of years. What influence has Joyce had on you and the profession over the years?
Well, first of all, my name is John Davis. I'm a physician assistant. First of all, I want to say that Joyce has been a major influence on me personally. She has been one of those people who has, from time to time, given me the best advice. She's also been a best friend. She's been a confidant, and she's also helped to move the profession along. One of the things that I see, and I know that we have, as the three of us, we have oftentimes used this little, I guess it's called an acting process. And that is that when we wanted something or Joyce wanted something from our profession, we would say, okay, John and Earl are requesting this. And if we don't get it, Joyce will be coming to talk to you next. And so she has been that kind of friend for us, and she has been that kind of professional person for us, moving things along. And I think that that's what helped us to make an impact on the profession. Even though she has been one of those people who has not taken the responsibility that she really deserves for making the kinds of changes in the profession that she has made, she oftentimes gives the credit to other people, but she has really been the leader, not only from behind, but also oftentimes in the forefront.
How would you summarize Joyce's impact on the profession as a whole?
Joyce has had a tremendous impact. She actually helped to write some of the legislation as well as the Articles of Incorporation. She was a student on the first board, and she helped the profession move along from the time of its inception, and she's continued to do that. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I have been most pleased about in the profession is the awards that she has been given. Even the award that she received, which we recently developed, the award signifies that she was one of the first people, and actually we kind of call it the Eagle Award, because the eagle symbolizes singularity, dedication, and forefront and looking at things from above to get a bigger picture. And Joyce has been that kind of person. We gave her the award because we knew that she had made all kinds of contributions to the Academy and that she had a vision that was far beyond what most of us would have as we go about our many different ways.
Anything else?
No.
That's good.
Yep.
Right on.